RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to inaugurate optical cable system in West Papua. Pertamina wants to rejoin OPEC. White of Indonesia ambassador to Pakistan killed in helicopter crash. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will inaugurate an undersea optical fiber network called Sulawesi Maluku Papua Cable System, SNPCS, in Manokwari, West Papua Province on May 10th. Spokesperson of the Indonesian communication company Telkom, Robert Wibowo Raharjo, noted in Jayapura on Friday that the President will inaugurate the cable system on May 10, 2015, during his visit to Manokwari. According to Raharjo, the optical fiber network will be installed around Papua's coastal areas such as Sorong, Manokwari, Biak, Jayapura, Merauke, to Mimika. The installation of the undersea optical fiber network is expected to benefit people, especially internet users, by ensuring optical data transfer, Robert noted. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to arrive in Manokwari on Sunday, May 10, to inaugurate the SMFPC and to visit traditional markets and distribute smart and healthy Indonesia card to the community. The plan of the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources to bring Indonesia to rejoin the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPET, was welcomed by PT Pertamina. Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said, "At this time, Indonesia needs to enter into a major player in the world oil environment to be able to follow the dynamics of the world oil policy." Dwi claimed to support the government's plan because surely Pertamina would also have a good network for the world oil trade. Vice President Corporate Communication of Pertamina, Wiyanda Pusponegoro, also considered that the merger of Indonesia with OPET would also provide benefits to Pertamina. Pertamina itself will remain committed to increasing domestic oil production. The wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Heri Listawati, was one of the casualties in the helicopter crash in Pakistan at around 11:45 a.m. local time on Friday. This was confirmed by a spokesman for Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata, in Jakarta on Friday. He said that the news of the death of Madam Heri Listawati in an accident is true. Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Burhan Muhammad, who was also one of the passengers aboard the ill-fated helicopter, survived from the incident but suffered serious injury. Armanata added that at present his office was in constant contact with the Indonesian embassy in Islamabad to get details about the incident. Based on information received by Antara National News Agency, the party, employed by the Pakistani Foreign Affairs Ministry, led for northern Pakistan on helicopter. In the crash, four people were reportedly killed, namely the wife of Indonesian ambassador, the wife of Malaysian ambassador to Pakistan, and the Filipino ambassador and Norwegian ambassador. In a mission to encourage younger generation to be involved and to appreciate art as one of the entrepreneur spirits, Ciputra Artpreneur is holding Ciputra Artpreneur Youth Art Appreciation, CHAYA. The art and design event is dedicated to junior high school students in the Greater Jakarta area. there are more than 100 art pieces in variety of medium exhibited that are made by more than 40 students in Jakarta. The participating school include Global Jaya School, Jakarta Intercultural School, Mentari School, Bintaro North Jakarta Intercultural School, New Zealand Independent School, Sekolah Pelita Harapan, Lippo Village, and Singapore School, Buona Vista. Rina Ciputra, the President Director of Ciputra Enterprise, said that through this event, that it takes an attempt to grow Indonesian children's interest towards art from the view of production and entrepreneurship. It's time that Indonesia appraise and promote Indonesian art and culture. The head of Creative Economic Agency, Triawan Munaf, who also opened the exhibition, said he will support the event to be held regularly. The Pakistani embassy in Jakarta stated on Friday that the crash of a helicopter in which six people, including Harry Listawati, the wife of the Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, were killed, was not the act of a terrorist attack. The embassy's defense attaché Muhammad Sahid Siddiq denied reports that the Pakistani military helicopter, which was carrying mostly foreign diplomats and their spouses, was shot down by the Taliban. The Pakistani Taliban spokesman said on Friday the group had struck the aircraft with a ground-to-air missile, hoping to assassinate Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who officials said had been traveling to the same region in a plane. Siddiq explained that the crash area located in the Naltar Valley in Gilgit in Pakistan North was an area free of Taliban activity. The crash happened after the helicopter experienced technical difficulties 30 feet from where it was supposed to land. There were many ground weaknesses to the crash. It is currently still under investigation. This was confirmed by Siddiq to Jakarta Post on Friday. He also confirmed that Harry Listawati, the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Burhan Muhammad, was among the fatalities. Meanwhile, Ambassador Burhan Muhammad sustained injuries during the crash that are not deemed to be critical. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister received information related to the crash of a Mi-70 helicopter in the mountainous northern region Gilgit, Pakistan on Friday, May 8, 2015 at around 11:45 local time. In a press conference at the Foreign Ministry Office Jakarta on Friday evening, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi confirmed that Harry Listawati Burhan Muhammad, the wife of the Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, was killed in the helicopter accident.
Kementerian Luar Negeri Republik Indonesia telah menerima informasi terkait jatuhnya helikopter.
Indonesian Foreign Ministry has received information related to the crash of the Pakistani military helicopter in the mountainous Gilgit, Pakistan on Friday, May 18, 2015 at around 11:45 local time. Based on information from Pakistani Foreign Ministry, compared through Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry in Islamabad, Pakistan on Friday at around 4:46 local time PM, it was confirmed that the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, Harry Listawati Burhan Muhammad, was among the dead victims. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that Burhan Muhammad, the Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, survived with several injuries. She said the ambassador is being treated at the combined military hospital in Gilgit. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, the visit involved 32 other foreign ambassadors to Pakistan using four helicopters to attend the launching event of tourism project in Gilgit, Pakistan. The ill-fated Mi-17 helicopter carried 17 passengers, 11 of them are foreign nationals. On separate occasions, spokesman of Minister of Foreign Affairs Armanata Kristiawan Nasir to the media asserted that Indonesian government continues to coordinate with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Pakistan, the Indonesian Embassy in Islamabad and Pakistani Embassy in Jakarta to seek more detailed information in connection with the crash of the helicopter and the evacuation of the wife of Indonesian Ambassador to Pakistan, Harry Listawati Burhan Muhammad.
Kita terus berkoordinasi dengan.
We continue to coordinate with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Pakistan and also our existing embassy in Islamabad to continue to seek information related to the evacuation plan of the victims and the body of Mrs. Harry Listawati Burhan Muhammad. According to Armanata Nasir, in relation to Heri Listawati Buran Muhammad are victims in the helicopter were Philippine ambassador to Pakistan, Norway ambassador to Pakistan, and the Dutch ambassador to Pakistan, Polish ambassador to Pakistan, and the wife of Malaysian ambassador to Pakistan. Meanwhile, the military attache of Pakistan embassy to Indonesia, Colonel Muhammad Said Siddiq, said the Pakistani government continues to conduct an investigation and denied that the incidents of Mi-70 helicopter crash was set by Taliban. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pane. We start with Kompas newspaper. Kompas in its editorial writes, "The domestic economic slowdown. As it is feared, the growth of the gross domestic product for the first quarter of 2015 recorded 4.89%, contracted from the fourth quarter of 2014. The growth in the first quarter is the lowest since 2009 and lower than the same period in 2014, which was 5.14%. Without seriousness to pursue the growth engine in the next quarters, the conservative growth target of 5.4 to 5.8% could be threatened." Kompas writes, "Some people even have to revise Indonesian's growth projections in 2015 to below 5%. The consequences on job creation and poverty reduction. The slowdown is a combination of factors in the country and abroad. Foreign factor is the decrease in demand for Indonesian export products from major trading partners and the global economic slowdown. While in domestic, all components show slow in growth, with lower government spending drop 49% from the previous year, allegedly an important factor behind the contraction. Therefore, according to Kompas, the acceleration of growth can only be done by increasing spending, particularly infrastructure projects, as the top priority of government starting from the second quarter. The question is how the government overcomes the obstacles, among others, the tender, land acquisition, and licensing. Measures to encourage investment and business and export competitiveness should also be focused." According to Kompas, for infrastructure projects, local content should be prioritized so that the greatest benefit can be obtained by the domestic economy. The next press review is from Media Indonesia Daily. This newspaper writes, "Waiting real rules to control price." Less encouraging news comes from Central Statistic Agency, BPS, on Thursday. Economic growth is the trigger. It is seen from the Central Statistics Agency data that shows the Indonesian quarterly economic growth slowed back. In the first quarter of 2015, the figure is even below 5%, 4.71% to be exact. The figure is lower than the growth in the first quarter of last year, which reached 5.14%. Due to the slowdown, the unemployment rate increased. Slowing economic growth actually has taken place since the end of 2012, along with the global economic slowdown. Sluggish export performance so as to make the national economy depressed. Investment growth, despite apparently not able to compensate for government, continues to attract investment. Media Indonesia writes, "In Indonesia, the largest component of which contribute to economic growth was household consumption, alias socially. Its role reached more than half of Indonesian gross domestic product. According to Media Indonesia, increasing investment and export performance needs time. However, not so with maintaining purchasing power. The key is discipline to control inflation. There must be no unnecessary price spikes due to the trade system in shambles. Therefore, there's no longer any reason to delay the publication of the trade system of economic regulation. The government is also expected to offer more receipts in attracting investments." We conclude press review from Republika. The newspaper, in its editorial, writes, "The fate of the players is on the top." Phrasing Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI, be an appropriate steps to start the realignment of the institution. PSSI is still an indispensable role to promote national football. All parties are very concerned to see the national football achievements in the international arena. Its title and performance cannot be hurt. Indonesia has a very large population. Supposedly, there are many football player seats with the potential to curb achievement. Its huge population is a distinct advantage for Indonesia to make the system more rigorous selection in choosing a football player. According to Republika, the Indonesian Football Association, as the parent organization of football, can be reshaped to elect a truly integrity to promote national football. The selection process, as well as the fit and proper tasks for the new administrators of the PSSI, must absolutely be executed in a transparent manner. FIFA's threat of sanction does not need to be an important issue that inhibits revamping the world of football. Republika argue the steps to rearrange the PSSI and the world of football must go forward. Indonesia's absence from the competition between countries in the near future should be an occasion to give coaching the players to the maximum. The government's attention to the fate of the players in the transition period is really needed. Well, listener, that ends today's press review.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Steve, in our regular Today in History of Radio What Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on May the 9th, 1914, when Indy Social Democratic Association was founded. An important early organization was founded by Dutch socialist Henk Snijvliet and another Indy socialist who basically formed Harbor Labor in 1914 under the name Indy Social Democratic Association, or in Dutch, Indisch Social Democratisch Vereniging, or ISDV. ISDV was constituted essentially by the 85 members of the two Dutch socialist parties, SDAP and Socialist Party of Netherlands, who next became communist SDP, residing in the Dutch East Indies leadership. The Dutch members of the ISDV introduced the Marxist ideas to educated Indonesians looking for ways to oppose colonial rule. At the Congress of ISDV on 23 May 1920 in Semarang, it took the name Perserikatan Komunis di Hindia, or PKH, or in English, Communist Union of the Indies. PKH was the first Asian Communist Party to become the section of the Communist International. In 1924, the party name was changed once again to Partai Komunis Indonesia, or PKI, or in English, Communist Party of Indonesia. In 1965, the party was ended. The next event was in 1974 when the House Judiciary Committee recommended articles of impeachment to the full House of Representatives, but Nixon resigned before the House voted on the articles. The Watergate scandal was a major political scandal that occurred in the United States in the 1970s, a result of the June 17, 1972, break-in at the Democratic National Committee, or DNC, headquarters at the Watergate Office Complex in Washington, D.C., and the Nixon administration's attempted cover-up of its involvement. In July 1973, as evidence mounted against the president's staff, including testimony provided by former staff members in an investigation conducted by the Senate Watergate Committee, it was revealed that President Nixon had a tape recording system in his offices and that he had recorded many conversations. After a protracted series of bitter court battles, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that the president had to hand over the tapes to government investigators. He eventually complied. Recording from these tapes implicated the president, revealing he had attempted to cover up the questionable goings-ons that had taken place after the break-in. Facing near certain impeachment in the House of Representatives and equally certain conviction by the Senate, Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974. And the last event was in 1978 when Aldo Moro was killed. Aldo Remoyo Luigi Moro, who was born in September 23, 1916, and died on May 9, 1978, was an Italian Christian Democratic politician and the 38th Prime Minister of Italy from 1963 to 1968, and then from 1974 to 1976. He was one of Italy's longest-serving post-war prime ministers, holding power for a combined total of more than 6 years. A leader of Democrazia Cristiana, or Christian Democracy, or DC, Moro was considered an intellectual and a patient mediator, especially in the internal life of his party. He then was kidnapped on March 6, 1978, by the Red Brigades, or PR, a Marxist-Leninist urban guerrilla organization, and killed on April 9, 1978. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on the first sea toll lanes is officially in operation. I'm Dalat Pane. In the presidential election campaign last year, Joko Widodo, or better known as Jokowi, introduced the concept of marine or sea tolls to offset the cost of distribution of goods between islands in this archipelago. The concept of sea toll does not mean to build toll roads over the sea, but provide logistics distribution system using a large ship in the harbor connecting the main line of Aceh, Jakarta, Surabaya, Nusa Tenggara, Maluku to Papua. The concept of the Marine Highway on Wednesday, May 6, is realized with the launch of the first sea toll lanes from Lampung to Surabaya by Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan at the Panjang Port in Lampung Province. On that occasion, Jonan released KMP Mutiara Persada 3 ship serving the sea toll lanes to Tanjung Perak Port, Surabaya. With a 151-meter long, the ship can accommodate 200 units of medium-sized trucks. Bandar Lampung Surabaya cruise is pursued for about 29 hours with a maximum speed of 60 knots. According to Minister Jonan, Bandar Lampung Surabaya travel time can be saved up to 74% of the normal time, which is usually reached a four-day trip. So, by utilizing this sea shipping lane highway, the distribution of goods between islands can save costs and faster time. Similarly, moving truck operating costs can be reduced up to 55% cheaper than using overland trip. For the maiden voyage, the vessel made in Japan in 1989 will depart 3 times a week. 2 departures will be from Panjang Port to Tanjung Perak, and the other departure is from Tanjung Perak Port to Panjang Port. In the future, another ship will be added to serve this lane so that transport can be more widely. The rate for the shipping services is vary, range between 3.5 million rupees to 10 million rupees for each goods vehicles, depending on the length and weight of the vehicle load, while for passenger, the fare is ranging from 250,000 to 500,000 per passenger. The management of the vessels in this sea toll lane is entirely run by the private sector, namely PT Altosim Lampung Shipping, or ALP. President Director of PT ALP, Rian Bernardus, guarantees the delivery of goods from Lampung to Surabaya will be on time. Since the sea lifts anchor based on the schedule, not based on the level of occupancy, it is hoped this marine transport modes will have a positive impact on economic growth in Java and Sumatra Islands and can reduce the load of vehicles by road from Lampung. Well, listener, that was Focus.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm Hermana Rahmana to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Saturday 9th of May 2015. Let's start headlining Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, international community is mourning. The international community in Pakistan is mourning due to the fall of MI-70 helicopter carrying 17 foreign diplomats on the mountain of Gilgit, Baltistan, northern Pakistan on Friday. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi confirmed that
Harry Listawati, 51 years old, wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan Burhan Muhammad, is one of the 7 casualties. Ambassador Burhan, who is injured in the incident, is in intensive care at the military hospital Jutiel, about 30 kilometers from the location of the ill-fated helicopter. Burhan and Harry, along with 30 ambassadors and families, joined the Pakistani Foreign Ministry program to review a number of government projects in Gilgit, Baltistan, 8 until 11 of May. They were also scheduled to meet Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. Prime Nawaz Sharif was scheduled to inaugurate 2 government projects in Gilgit, Baltistan by separate aircraft. He was reported to come back directly to Islamabad and express deep condolences. Via his Twitter, Pakistani military spokesman Hasin Bajwa confirmed that the incident was caused by technical error. Republika Daily writes in its headline, "Rice import waiting production data." The governor of Indonesia will decide the importance, said importation of rice after considering the result of the evaluation of production and stock of rice this year. Until now, report data on production and stock of rice have not been completed because the Minister of Agriculture still waiting for the harvest season ends. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel, after meeting Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Friday, said that the import step is the last alternative to meet domestic needs. Moreover, the absorption of farmers' rice that is carried out by bullet is currently decreasing. Listener, we come to an end of today's headline, namely Business Indonesia Daily writes the credit interest to decline. Chairman of the Commissioner Board of the Financial Service Authority, OJK, Mulaiman Haddad, said that Indonesian banks' credit interest has started to decline, although not big enough. It next period of 2 to 3 months, based on the second quarter banking survey 2015 released by Bank Indonesia and BI, the average cost of funds spent on bank customer funds placed in rupiah amounted to 6.98%. The amount was smaller than the one projected in the previous quarter by 7.30%. He said the level of banks' credit interest in Indonesia is likely to fall in the second quarter of 2015, reflected from the banking survey that projected decline in the cost of funds. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspapers written on Saturday 9th of May 2015. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Hear news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will inaugurate an undersea optical fiber network called Sulawesi Maluku Papua Cable System in Manokwari, West Papua Province on May 10th. The plan of the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources to bring Indonesia to rejoin the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries OPET was welcomed by PT Pertamina. PT Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said, "At this time, Indonesia needs to enter into a major player in the world oil environment to be able to follow the dynamics of the world oil policy." The wife of Indonesia ambassador to Pakistan, Harry Listawati, was one of the casualties in a helicopter crash in Pakistan at around 11:45 a.m. local time on Friday. This was confirmed by spokesman for Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata, in Jakarta on Friday. In a mission to encourage younger generation to be involved and to appreciate art as one of the entrepreneur spirits, Ciputra Artfrenur is holding Ciputra Artfrenur Youth Art Appreciation Chaya. The art and design event is dedicated to junior high school students in the Greater Jakarta area. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister received information related to the crash of Mi-17 helicopter in the mountainous northern region Gilgit, Pakistan on Friday, May 8, 2015 at around 11:45 local time. In a press conference at the Foreign Ministry Office Jakarta on Friday evening, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi confirmed that Harry Listawati Burhan Muhammad, the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan, was killed in the helicopter accident. One separate occasion, spokesman of Minister of Foreign Affairs Armanata Kristiawan Nasir to the media asserted that the Indonesian government continues to coordinate with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Pakistan, the Indonesian Embassy in Islamabad and the Pakistani Embassy in Jakarta to seek more detailed information in connection with the crash of the helicopter and the evacuation of the wife of Indonesian ambassador to Pakistan Heri Listawati Burhan Muhammad. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I am Steve. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Elo River for the beginner who wants to try rafting. So, stay tuned. Listener, if you have adrenaline hobby and want to try rafting, you can choose Elu River with the rafting length around 12.5 km. The river is located at Blondo Village, Magelang Regency, Central Java Province. This adventure really helps you to fresh your brain, to train solidarity and also to sharp feeling in the wild. Listener, when arriving at Elo River, you will find rubber boat at Elo River Bank. Before you take the boat, there is a guide who will give you the direction how to rafting. It is about safety procedure which must be obeyed. Although you have done the rafting, the guide still must give direction and you must obey it. The direction is about rafting techniques, starting from how to hold row, to use buoy, to turn on the boat, to swim fast, until how to save friends when they fall from the boat. Listener, after giving direction has finished, you can take the boat and begin to row. Small rapids begin the rafting friendly at Elo River. Under the distance around 700 meters, you will find a rapid which is quite big, called Welcome Rapid. Sloping structure and heavy stream makes the water will enter into the boat and make everybody wet. Well, listener, do you have adrenaline to try rafting at Elo River? So please come to Magelang Regency, Central Java Province. And listener, that's our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the matrilineal system in Minangkabau Society, West Sumatra. Matrilineal system regulates the life and order of certain societies that is found in a tangle of kinship in a maternal line. Most families in the world would have a man as the head of the family. Minangkabau society, however, considers a woman can perform the role as well. In Minangkabau family, women have the duty to keep the house, while men are obliged to make a living outside, traveling to other towns, even relatively far away places. This has become a tradition in Minangkabau society, and the traveling is called merantau. It is not clear though when was the first time the system was used in Minangkabau society. Even the development of technology and modernity today does not seem too much effect the traditional matrilineal lineage system. For Minangkabau children, the father's lineage is not as important as the mother's, which includes the family inheritance. Father is regarded as a guest and is treated as one in the family. He would be served with all respect and honor as guest, but his assistant is primarily to ensure the continuation of the lineage. Matrilineal descent is one of the main aspects in defining the identity of the Minang people. Their customs culture put the women of the family as heirs to the inheritance and kinship. Women in Minangkabau have a special status called Bundo Kanduan, which literally means the biological mother with all duties and privilege. Women play a role in determining the successful implementation of modern decisions which are still made by men in their position as a mamak or uncle or brother of the mother. Also, the decision of the chieftain. The great influence of these women is symbolized as limpape rumah, non gadan or the main pillar of the big house. Although this system is a tradition and customary for Minangkabau society, there are no concrete tools or punishment if one does not use the system in one's family. This is because there are no written rules that require people to do so. The system is only taught in every man and woman from generation to generation. Currently, not all Minangkabau communities still apply this matrilineal system. Actually, it's acknowledged that any system used to build a family is prerogative of every married couple. Probably this is why Minangkabau society has no written rules regarding this matrilineal system. Basically, the system is not simply to raise or strengthen the role of women. It is many people said to protect the family treasures from extinction. Women are known to be more careful about customs and tradition. What is meant by family treasure usually are rumagadan or traditional family house, other inheritance, especially heirlooms and paddy fields. Well, that was today's edition of Miscellany telling about the Minangkabau matrilineal system. Until the next edition, Miscellany, then bye-bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to a band, The Zakis. Let's listen to a song entitled Jantungku or My Heart. By the way, this song tells about a man who cannot separate from his lover. Enjoy this one song by The Zakis.
dan jangan kau jauh. Ku menjagamu selalu.
The first single of the Zakis, entitled Something Different, which was released in 2009. It consists of 10 songs. This album with pop rock genre reflects the Zakis music. Zaki loved rock rhythm from America, while Dwayne loved Britpop. The collaboration of the two genres can be heard through a song entitled Jantungku or My Heart. By the way, there was a story about the history of the Zakis. They had a conflict about the music concept to be made, so as making one of the personnel to resign from this band. That was the experience of Zaki. But the spirit of this man who has typical voice did not dissolve in the condition. His meeting with a guitarist from Palembang, Dwayne, returned his musicality power, which was empty. Then he invited Rio, which was the drummer, and Yana as the keyboardist, to establish a band which has rock genre. Listener, let's listen to the next song from the Zakis entitled Gila or Crazy.
Gila, karena kau memang kau buatku hilang. karena kau sebab kau aku hilang. Yeah, jadilah karena kau memang kau bergila. Oh, 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 aku hilang karena kau sebab kau aku hilang.
The Zakis come from the name Zaki. Before meeting with Rio and Yana, Zaki and Dwayne often play music together. According to Zaki, the Zakis appeared because before he formed the band, he often performed as Zaki. As many people and music lovers have known his name, finally, his friends chose the name of the band as the Zakis. Listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song from the Zakis entitled Tempat Yang Abadi.
People, this is Nesto on the mic. Would like to say something from the bottom of my heart. This is once in our life. Trust me, in sport we unite. Just wanna say welcome. Welcome Thailand. Welcome Singapore. Welcome Malaysia. Brunei, Philippines, Vietnam. Welcome Laos. Welcome Myanmar. Timor-Leste and Cambodia. Welcome to our land. This is Palembang. Yes, this is Indonesia.
Darussalam.
Indonesia. Malabasti, Cambodia, Singapore,
tempat kita ini indah, pertemukan jiwa kita.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.